Second Chronicles, chapter 26. Our text is actually, we're going to the book of Second Kings. But Second Chronicles is a parallel passage and has much more information that will be helpful for us this morning. So, Second Chronicles, chapter 26. Tell you what, can we turn this down a little bit, Melina or Karen, or work as a team? To me, it seems really loud, and I've got it way down by my belly, but that's kind of odd, so... So let's, there you go. That's much better. Thank you. Good. Hopefully that won't kill what you're doing. Anyway, I was watching, how many have been watching the World Cup? Lots of World Cup? Well, yeah, of course, the Liberians. Yes, of course. You guys aren't in it, are you? Are you in the World Cup? I know Nigeria is, but you'll claim Nigeria? We're going to claim Mexico because that's closest to us. But it's been interesting watching the World Cup a little bit that the World Cup players have the same problem that the NBA players have. I watched a little. I don't watch the NBA throughout the year. I did watch a little bit of the finals. Some of it was almost basketball, but both guys have. They have different countries. They have different languages, but they have the same problem. Now, to be fair, you and I have the same problem, and we live in a society that has. Really promotes this problem. What's the problem? Ego? Pride? It was amazing yesterday. These guys would ride. I mean, guy would go up for a header and he'd be draped all over him and they'd call a foul on him and their penalty on him. And I don't know what language they were speaking, but they were saying something. Every time. I never saw one of those guys says, you're right, umpire, I blew it. NBA's the same way. None of those guys commit fouls. I mean, they throw a guy to the floor. He was charging. I was just... They're all innocent. Isn't that how the world is today, though? My family's perfect. My children are perfect. You poor school teachers, you're dealing with perfect children all the time. At least that's what the parents think. And, we're living in a society today that is full of pride. Full of pride. Now, we're going to travel back 2,700 years this morning and look at the life of King Uzziah. And guess what? He had a problem with pride, too. By the way, he wasn't the first. Where did pride begin? Even before the Garden of Eden. Yeah, the fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. What did he say? I will be like the Most High. I will be exalted. He wasn't content with his position. He had pride, and it's going on today. Everybody's a self-made man. Everybody's great. Nobody's at fault. I'm going to call our lesson this morning the downward slide of pride. The downward slide of pride. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you say, good, he's talking about something I don't need, guess what? You really need it, all right? Okay. So you better take notes if that's how you're feeling, all right? Because we all deal with it. All right, you're in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's read a little bit, verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. By the way, just to help you... If you look back in Second Kings, he's called Azariah. Same guy, different name, just to confuse you, okay? So this is Uzziah. He was 16 years old. They made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I always like to read that. Most of them, you don't get to read that. According to all that his father Amaziah did, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So, number one, if you're taking notes, Uzziah's political reign, his political reign, and we see it here, he actually starts out as a co-regent. We've studied his father Amaziah. And there came a day when Amaziah wanted to go fight Israel. When he did that, he was taken captive. So when he was taken captive, they made Uzziah, his son, at 16 years old, the king of Israel, or Judah. How old is Luke? He is 16, okay? Maybe an old Luke Randolph. Can you imagine? This is no throw off against your son. But can you imagine going to Luke today and say, by the way, we've decided you're president of the United States. Now, he may do a better job. I don't know, actually. But here's a... Yeah, that's what he's shooting for. So 16 years old, and he becomes the king. He is a co-regent with his father for 15 years. At the end of that time, his father is released and comes back to reign with him. Notice it says in verse 2, he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. Now, you don't know where Eloth is. I don't hardly know either. It may be the place called Ezion-Geber. All right, now, remember our map? Okay, now, there's a body of water right here in southern Judah. What's it called? The Dead Sea. Now, Judah is in this area right here. If you go down further, there's a body of water here that has two ears coming up. Looks kind of like a donkey's head. Anybody know what that body of water is? Not the Black Sea. The Red Sea. Very good. You got the right sea, the wrong color. All right, the Red Sea, and it comes up, and on the right, it's the Gulf of Aqaba. So here's the Dead Sea, here's Judah. So he went all the way down here, and he conquered this Ezion-Geber right here. By the way, some of you old Navy guys, the other branch that goes up into the Mediterranean, anybody know what that is? Some of you Navy guys would probably have been in it. Suez Canal is there, the Gulf of Suez, very good. How many knew that? Good. All the military guys, I figure. Navy, and you were Air Force, weren't you? You were Army. Okay, so you walked all the way. That was good. All right. So, here's his co-regency. And then he became king, and we're going to look at that in a minute. And then finally, he actually ends his reign with another co-regency. But how many years was he king? Now, we're including all the co-regencies, and when he was king by himself, how many years total? 52. That's a lot of years. In fact, Uzziah reigned longer than any king in either Israel or Judah. Okay, so here's a man who had a prosperous reign, and we're going to see that in a moment. Anybody remember right offhand who would have had the second longest reign? Kind of a surprise. No, that's a good guess, though. He was actually king of Israel. We studied him about a month and a half ago. Come on, folks. Weren't you listening? Just kidding. Jeroboam II reigned 41 years in Israel. Here comes Uzziah. He's going to reign 52 years. So there's his political reign. Number two, we see Uzziah's piety, his piety. Look in verse 4 and 5. And the Bible records, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Wouldn't it be great to have that commendation? Now, what do we usually strive for? To do right in the eyes of men. By the way, let me ask you a question. Is it possible to do right in the eyes of men, but not in the eyes of God? A lot of Christians live that way, don't they? What we need to be striving for is to live right in the eyes of God. And by the way, that covers the other part too, doesn't it? So here's a man who the commendation is he lived right in the sight of God. By the way, I was exercising, I think, last Saturday night, and I try to watch something to take my mind off of the exercise, and I was flipping through the channels, and I found Temple Baptist Church, and I heard Clarence Sexton was preaching, and so I listened to that. And he was talking about the secret life. The secret life. Y'all look really spiritual this morning. But how about the secret life? Yeah. Here's a man, the Word of God says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So there's the record of his piety, but notice the reason for his piety. Look what he did in verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Here's a man who sought to know God. He sought to walk with God. He sought him actively. Let me give you a great verse. Deuteronomy 4:29. Write this down. You can look it up later on. But it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, here's God's promise, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Here is a man whose heart was right with God because he sought God. And I guess the question for all of us is, how much seeking did you do this week? You say, oh, but Gary, I was so busy. I had so much to do. I didn't have time to seek God. You know, Matthew 6:33 addresses that, doesn't it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So here's a man who the Bible says he was right with God because he sought God. How much seeking did you do this week? Boy, God has promised, if you'll seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Yeah, there you go. Our verse for next week. He that hath my commandments, I shouldn't do this, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved to my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Great truth. Great truth. Seeking the Lord. So here's a guy who did. He sought the Lord. And it's interesting, though, there's kind of a caveat here. Do you see it? He sought the Lord when? You see it? Verse 5. In the days of Zechariah. Now immediately you say, oh, I know him. No, you don't. It's not the same one, okay? You know Zechariah, who wrote the book, who was a prophet, happened a lot later on. It wasn't him. We're not even sure who this guy was. His name was Zechariah. And yet it's very interesting to me that it says the king, Uzziah, sought the Lord as long as Zechariah influenced his life. And how did Zechariah influence his life? You see it? So what did he do? He explained the Word of God, and he applied the Word of God, and Uzziah took it, and he sought the Lord, and he was right with the Lord. Years ago, I heard someone say, you influence everyone you spend time with, either positively or negatively. Now, Zechariah, who was an unknown person, we know his name, and that's it. I looked at all my commentaries, none of them knew exactly who he was. He's an unknown guy. But here he is, influencing the king, and because of his influence behind the scenes, Uzziah sought the Lord. Hey, let me ask you a question. You spent time this week with a lot of people. Did you cause them to seek the Lord? Did you influence them for godliness? Now, we had a whole lesson on this. So I'm not going to camp here too long. Or did you push them away? My brother-in-law, who's an assistant pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, sends email. Whenever he sends an email, he uses the verse, iron sharpeneth iron. How many of you men have knives? How many have knives that you sharpen with? What are you sharpening with? Some kind of stone. What's it called? A whetstone. How many have a whetstone that you sharpen your knife with? Okay. Now, the Word of God says you're to be like the whetstone. By the way, I don't own any knives except butter knives so I can eat my rolls. But I assume there's a right way and a wrong way to sharpen a knife, I would assume. I mean, obviously, if you drag it across this way with the blade pointing down, it will not be sharper, okay? And I just wonder what kind of whetstone we are. The people you've come in contact with this week, did you sharpen them? Or did you dull them? Here is a man, Zechariah, who influenced the king greatly. And so here he is. This man is a godly man who is seeking the Lord. He is a pious man. Thirdly, and this follows naturally, Uzziah's prosperity. Look at his prosperity. It's found throughout this passage, verse 6 through 15. And he went forth and he warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath. Now, you know Gath, don't you? How do you know Gath? Goliath, that's his hometown, a stronghold of Philistines. And because this man sought the Lord, he was able to go out and he was able to defeat the Philistines. And it says the wall of Jebna, the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Rabians that dwelt in Gerbel and the Mahunims. What a name. And the Ammonites gave gift to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even into the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Here he is, folks. He's going out and he's conquering land to the south, to the north. All around him, he is conquering. He is prospering in a military sense in his battling. And then notice, he's going to prosper in his building, too. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he hath much cattle, both in the low country and the plain, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So he goes out where his crops are and his shepherds are, and they dig wells and they build towers so they can see the enemy coming. And so the shepherds and the cattlemen and the agricultural people have a place they can run to when the enemy comes in. So here he is. God is prospering him. And then verse 11, he had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. So 2,600 chief men, and under their hand was an army, 300,000, 700,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And as Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. So he's got this huge army of 306,750 men, whatever it was. Maybe it was 7,650. But anyway, had all this great army. And he equips them and they go out and they fight and they battle and they win. And I like the next verse. This is neat. Look at the next verse. And it says in verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. What's it talking about?
Catapults.
Now, historically, this guy was not attributed to making up these things, but the Bible, here's the earliest mention of catapults. And if you've watched any old movies about the battles of the Middle Time or whatever, you see those catapults and they would throw these stones up to 300 and some pounds, and it said they could throw 1,000 stones a day up to a mile. Can you imagine? That's a distance, folks. Now remember, we're in 760 BC. Okay? And then they had engines that would shoot arrows. And I can just imagine what it is. Yeah, machine arrow. There you go. What kind of bow and arrow? I got a machine arrow. Yeah. And so they throw all these arrows in this thing, and somebody pulled the trigger, and a barrage of arrows would come out against the enemy. I mean, this guy was something. I mean, he had the ingenuity and the ability to make these engines of warfare to protect him from all his enemies. I mean, God helped this guy. He was prospering. There's the record of his prosperity. And I kind of jumped the gun, but what's the reason for his prosperity? Look in verse 5. End of the verse. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Wow. I meet a lot of people who have a lot of problems. Many of those are self-inflicted. Most of my problems are self-inflicted. But you wonder how to get the blessing of God in your life? Make right decisions every day. Every day, make right decisions. This decision pleases the Lord. This decision pleases the Lord. This decision pleases the Lord. This decision, you got the idea? And what happens? Happened in this guy's life, as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. And God built this man up and gave him wisdom and gave him power. In verse 7, we see it again. It says, and God helped him. In verse 15, it says, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, where does prosperity come from? Now, this is an important point. Well, it comes from me. I mean, multi-talented, I can do anything, you know, I'm a self-made man, I'm Mr. Salesman, I'm whatever, you know, I'm a genius, I can make anything, you know, and I'm not speaking about myself and all this, by the way, because none of those things are true. But that's kind of what people think, isn't it? And by the way, when you think that you are a self-made man, what does that lead to? Pride. Pride. Now listen to the Word of God. And I kind of skipped it. Can I go back a point? Can I do that? Because this is important. Talked about obedience leading to blessing. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who is really smart. Blessed is the man who works really, really, really hard. Blessed is the man who walketh not. And he's not with the ungodly. He's not with the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, my life's a wreck. My life's in shambles. I've got all kinds of problems. Now, I'm not saying just because you do right, you won't have problems. But hallelujah, if you do wrong, you're going to have a lot of problems. Right choices, doing what's right, you see God's blessing. Okay, now I'm going to jump back up, all right? The reason for his prosperity, God blessed him. Listen to 1 Chronicles 29:12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength to all. I like 1 Corinthians 4:7, and we're going to see it again at the end. For who maketh thee to differ one from another? What's the answer? Well, I did, right? Come on, who makes you to differ? Why are you like you are? Ooh, well, that's dangerous. Why do you have the talents and abilities you have? You sure? I'm a little concerned. Some of you aren't so sure about this. All right, he said, look, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou didst not receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast received it? Or not received it. Do you get the point? Let me read it again. I'll read it right this time. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Okay, some of you can sing. And you're in the choir. Some of you can sing and you're not, and you should be. Some of you cannot sing and you should not be in the choir. Okay. Unless you just want to stand there and mouth the words. And look good. That's not bad either. Where did you get that talent and ability? I mean, some people are born musically talented, no doubt about that. Some can learn it, some can't. But the whole point is, who made you? Who gave you that? Well, God did. Now, if God gave it to you, what right do we have to get up and sing and say, wow, you are so lucky to be able to hear me sing. I mean, I am really good. Where's the pride if God gave it to you? Kim plays the piano for us, does a wonderful job. Now, I know she took piano lessons. You guys invested a lot of money in piano lessons. But she had some natural ability, and she has invested in her life in that, and she plays well today. But, you know, God can take that away too, can't he? And yet we strut around like we are really somebody. Well, yes, I'm very talented. I'm very good. You're lucky to be around me, right? What? You only have it because God gave it to you. You may have great intellect here today. And I know God, I know you say, well, I've developed it. Yes, you have. But God gave you the beginning and he gave you the ability to develop it. It all came from God. Oh, I got to hurry. I've got 4 minutes. Goodness gracious. There are no self-made men. Men work hard, men fine-tune their talents. But in the end, listen, every talent, every ability, all intelligence, all wisdom ultimately comes from God. Comes from God. So we see Uzziah's political reign, his piety, his prosperity. And I'll be honest with you, I wish I could close the story right there. I really do. I'd just like to say, okay, folks, that's it. Let's go home. But the story doesn't end there. Because you look in verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. What did he have? Pride. He decided he was somebody. I rebuilt the city. I established this army. I got this agriculture going. I am the man. I have this, I have conquered all my enemies. I am somebody. I can do whatever I want to do because I am the man. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Look what he did. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense, O my soul. Now, in 740 or 50 BC, was there any question in Israel about who should go into the temple to offer incense? No question. The priest and the priest only could go into the holy place to offer incense. No question. But here is a man who is filled with pride, and he said, I can do whatever I want to do because I'm me and I'm somebody. So he goes into the temple in the holy place, and the priest tries to withstand him, Azariah, and keep him from going in. And then 80 priests try to stop him, and he said, I'm going in, boys. And he's got, what do they call it? Hang on, I'll get there. Well, maybe I won't. He had something in his hand. Censer. Yeah, he had a censer. Good. Okay, he had a censer in his hand with fire, and he's going to offer this incense. And he goes in, and the priest cannot stop him. 80 priests try to stop him. He's going in, and he gets mad at these guys, and he starts probably swinging that thing around. And I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to do what I want to do because I am somebody. And God said, no, you're not. And instantly, leprosy came in his forehead and spread throughout his body. And God took his position away from him, took his power away from him. And because he was a leper, he could no longer be king. Nope. He was done. He was done. Because his pride led him to destruction. And let me give you some other verses from Scripture, verses you know. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 21:4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. By the way, there are good-looking people in the world and there are people who are not quite so good-looking, right? And those that are the beautiful people let everybody know, don't they? Right? How'd they get that way? Well, plastic surgery, that's possible, I know. But I mean, they had good bones to work with from the beginning, you know. But what has to happen for them to lose it? Just a misstep. A misstep. A misturn. And it's all gone. It's all gone. Everyone that's a proud heart is an abomination of the Lord. Wow, that's strong. James 4:6. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Wow. See, we think pride's okay and the world promotes it and it's okay, but you know, I'm somebody. But God doesn't think that, and God resists the proud. Now, do you want God standing for you or against you? But he giveth grace to the humble. Let me close this morning. And I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 4:7. If you're struggling with pride, and we all do, here's the cure. Remember where your talents and your abilities and your body and whatever else you have that might be good, remember where it came from. It wasn't you. It came from God. God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, you're not going to be proud. You're just going to be grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that ability, that talent, that whatever it happens to be, God, thank you for it. And I'll tell you what, folks, I don't want God resisting me. And I know you don't either. So we went the long way around the fence to get to the barn, okay? But I hope you got to the barn with me. Okay? Uzziah, prosperous man. Prosperous man. But in his prosperity, he became proud. God took him down. If he can do it to a king, he can do it to us too. Lord, I know this has not been the most encouraging lesson, but Lord, we all need it. We all tend to be proud. And Lord, you hate pride. God, help us to examine our hearts this morning and help us to be people who realize it all came from you. And we ought to be grateful and thankful as we use